we have now finally reached the form as far as all of this music that we're going to be talking about is concerned. In the classic era especially, and in much of Romanticism, there is one form that dominates, and I mean dominates. It's the last one that you have listed there, sonata form. I would say practically every piece in the classic era uses it, in at least one movement, sometimes in two movements, sometimes in as many as three movements. The only movement that doesn't frequently use sonata form would be the dance movement. And there the ternary or minuet and trio pretty much holds. Otherwise, sonata form is the favored movement. In pieces in the classic period, I would say at least 95, maybe 99% of the instrumental pieces will use sonata form in the first movement. In other movements, you never know, but certainly in the first movement. So it's something that we really want to pay attention to, and it's also one of the most interesting and exciting forms in this music, which is probably why the composers used it. First of all, let me make something very clear. Don't mix up sonata and sonata form. They mean two completely different things. Sonata, you know, means a piece for a solo instrument, or maybe two instruments if that solo instrument needs some sort of harmonic accompaniment. It's like a sonata for piano or for violin and piano, something like that. Sonata form refers to a structure, a way a specific movement is organized, and it can appear in any genre. So it can appear in sonatas, it can appear in string quartets, it can appear in symphonies, concertos, and it does appear in all of those. So think of them, even though it is a little confusing because the same word is used, but don't think of them as being two completely different things. The other thing, if you have had at some point in your career, when you were in college or wherever it might have been, and you took something like a music appreciation course or anything along those lines, or if you've studied some music on your own, or if you play an instrument or something, you may have run across the term sonata allegro form. Has anybody heard that term? Okay. If you haven't heard the term, don't worry. We're not going to deal with it. If you have heard the term sonata form is exactly the same. It's just sort of making it a little shorter. That's the only reason I mention that is because I know someone will ask me that question. I've run across this term sonata allegro form. What does that mean? Is that the same thing? It is the same thing. You have the outline there at the bottom of the page. I'm going to sort of put the, essentially the same thing up on the board. And you notice that instead of talking about section A, section B, and so forth, we start using some pretty fancy words. We refer to the exposition, the development, and the recapitulation. These are the three principal sections of sonata form. I'm going to abbreviate recap just because I'm running out of room. Now, all of this, keep in mind, happens within a single movement. So we're talking about what happens in a movement. Each one of those terms fairly much describes what happens in each section. And the way it works is something like this. There are two elements. I'm going to go through it first, talking about the thematic element, that is the themes and the tunes and how they're handled. In the exposition, is pretty much that. It presents the main thematic material, the main themes. And it, however, divides them into two groups. And so we'll refer to it as group one and group two. You might think of that as thematic group one and thematic group two. Sometimes you'll see it read about an explanation of sonata form that refers to theme one and theme two. That's very misleading because there is no set number of themes. You could have two themes like that, but you could have five or six themes. You could have seven or eight, or you could even, sometimes a composer, this is rare, but it happens, will actually use the same theme in the second group as in the first. But the point is that in the exposition, the composer presents the themes and divides them into two groups. And in the classic period, in the exposition part, the themes are usually broken down into fairly clear phrases. And that will become of some importance when we contrast it with the development. But the main thing is that you divide the exposition into two groups. Now, how do you know? How can you tell? And what usually happens is the composer, this is not abstract, but the composer will come to a fairly big cadence about, you know, somewhere in the middle here. And there'll be a fairly definite stopping point. He'll tend to run things together a little bit within each group. Not always, but there's that tendency. But there will be a break of some sort in the middle. And so you have the various themes. And often the themes in the second group are contrasting from those in the first group, like they might be more flowing and lyrical, whereas these might be more rhythmically vigorous. But that's not always the case. So we get to the end of the exposition. Let's move on into the development. The development means exactly that. What happens in the development section is the composer takes those themes from the exposition and develops them. Now, I know the question's running through your mind, what does that mean to develop them? That's sort of circular reasoning, in a sense. Well, he manipulates them. He will break them down, maybe into different fragments, and he'll maybe combine them in unusual ways, have one succeed another, maybe take half of one from one, or maybe take a half of a phrase of one theme and then another half of a phrase of another theme and put them together, or maybe take just small motives from the different themes and repeat that same motive over and over. Any kind of procedure like that where the composer is combining and manipulating these themes. That's what we mean by development. What does not happen in the development section, at least normally, is for the composer to present new themes. In other words, whatever happens in here is based on what happened here. That you do not normally have anything new as far as tunes are concerned. You may have something that sounds a little bit new because it's put together in a different way, but you can usually hear it referring back to that. And then what happens in the recapitulation? The composer simply goes back to what he had here. In other words, he repeats the material in the exposition put back in order like it was. In other words, he repeats these themes. You have group one and group two, and essentially the same themes. He may occasionally change an order around a little bit here or there, but often not. Often the recapitulation will sound very much like the exposition. It's sort of like he sort of mixed everything up here. It's like you're cooking something and you lay out all the ingredients here, then you throw it in a pot and then mix it all up here and see what you get. Only the difference is, at this point, then you take it all out of the pot and put it back on the table like it was. That's a terrible analogy, and I apologize for that. But yeah, right. But that's really, it works until you get to the recapitulation, of course. But then you have problems. But anyway, the idea is that you have disturbed the basic order that you had in the exposition. And so the classic composer essentially wants to restore that order here, and he does that by presenting it there. If you have read, again, if you have taken any courses in college or somewhere, you've probably heard this. And what I've presented to you just now is precisely what happens. If we were to stop here, however, And if this is what you learned, if this is what you were taught in college courses, and it amazes me that how many textbooks say this and leave it at this, you have missed the whole point of sonata form. There's another layer that's absolutely critical. And this has to do with harmony and tonality. This goes back to what we talked about the very first time when we talked about keys and tonality, because this is really what it's all about in terms of the making the piece exciting, in terms of the dynamic aspect of it, is what happens tonally. And I'm going to now go through it and explain what happens tonally, and then we'll listen to a piece. The composer starts off in the tonic key. We've talked about that. It's almost by definition going to be in the tonic key, because you start off in whatever key you're in. And I'm going to use Roman numerals here. One means the tonic, because that's the home key. Now, what happens? As he begins to proceed, he begins to get away from the tonic. The first main difference is the second group is not in the tonic key. It's in the dominant key. And remember when we talked about modulation, we made that distinction between just having a dominant chord and actually modulating to the dominant key. That is dominant, just to refresh your memory, the dominant is the five notes up. And when we say modulate to the dominant, that is, you make the dominant temporarily sound like a tonic. And that's what happens here. So already, halfway through the exposition, you've departed from the tonic key. Now, what really happens in the development, besides all of the things that I mentioned, which do happen, is the composer will modulate extensively. The development section is really a period in which, section in which tonality is very unstable. He jumps from one key to the other. He moves around, and you never feel quite like, or you're never sure where home is. Because remember that whole sense of the tonic was that you feel this is the point of arrival. This is the point of gravitation. This is where I should be. In the development section in sonata form, he's moving around so fast that you don't have a clear sense of where you are tonally. And what happens? Well, it feels unstable, it feels unsettled, and it creates tension because you're kind of waiting for all of this to work itself out. It's like the dramatic analogy would be good here. It's like the composer is building tension by some sort of conflict, in this case, tonal conflict. The themes are fragmented, the tonality is fragmented, and one key is pitted against another. The composer jumps from one key to another. Now, what happens then? The key to this is the recapitulation, because what the composer will avoid in the development section, as he's jumping around from key to key, is any emphasis on the original tonic, because he wants you to feel like you're far, far away from where you started. At the moment of recapitulation, the tonic key returns. And the difference between the recapitulation and the exposition is that he stays in the tonic key. We go back to group one in the tonic, and then we hear group two, this time, in the tonic. That's really what sonata form is all about, is that tonal tension created. And you can think of this moment of recapitulation, if you use the dramatic analogy, as more or less the denouement. This is where the tension is resolved. And this consists of mainly reestablishing order, reinterpreting this stuff here that had been in the dominant before. Are you with me? Okay. Now, you may say, I'll never hear that. No, I think you will hear it pretty easily and pretty clearly. Let's play an example. I'm going to take a movement from a Mozart symphony, and the reason I'm playing it is fairly short, and I think you, and pretty clear. This is his symphony number 40. And remember, we were talking about Kirchhoff numbers. If you say symphony number 40, everybody knows what you mean, but it's really Kirchhoff 550, if anybody's interested. I'm going to play first the last movement, and then if we have time, I'll play the first movement, because they're both in sonata form, and they're both good, clear examples of this. No, 41 is the Jupiter. This is a G minor. Group one. Notice the phrases are pretty clear and regular, and you can tell where the cadences are. Now he's starting to modulate. By the way, as he comes to the end of the exposition, sometimes a conductor will repeat the exposition, and you never know whether that's going to happen until it happens. He's getting close to the end of the exposition now. Case he repeats. It's just like the beginning. In the development, I think you'll instantly be able to tell that it's unstable. Right here. But you hear those same fragments of themes. You guys are repeating that one part of it? Thank you. was able to,